Today is all about beginning again. That's what Easter's all about. And, you know, there's times in our life we just need to start over. We need a fresh start. We need a clean slate. We need a new beginning. And that's what Sunday is all about. That's what every Sunday is about, right? That's what Jesus is all about, is giving you a new beginning and a fresh start. This past Thursday was the fresh start for all the baseball teams. All the Major League Baseball teams had a clean slate on Thursday. Everybody was equal. Nobody had any losses on their record yet, right? Everybody's equally eligible to win the World Series. Any baseball fans in here? No? Yes? I know this is football country, so baseball just started. I mean, any sport, that first week you start over, man, everything feels so good. Except for this team right here. Check out the Houston Astros won World Series last year. Yeah. Beat the Dodgers in the World Series, and you know, just beating California at anything is pretty awesome, right? But so they don't want a fresh start. They want to just keep on winning. But everybody else wants a fresh start. The Rangers want a fresh start. Everybody wants a fresh start. I just started, this is going to sound weird, but I just started bowling professionally. Just kidding, I don't bowl professionally, but a guy in the church bought me a bowling ball. And he was like, hey, we have a spot on a team here. Why don't you come? So I've been bowling a little bit more lately. And Tim, you went the other day. Yeah, see? So it's a lot of fun. And so my league starts in a couple weeks. I'm a little nervous. And people started, like, applauding for me in the last service. I was like, wait, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, we're talking, like, sunset. You know, this is not the big leagues. But anyway, so I'm bowling. And there's nothing like the feeling. And when you take that bowling ball and you roll it down that lane and you knock over all those pins, it's called a strike in bowling, right? And when you knock over all those pins and they all fall down, and oh man, that feeling you get, it's like, yeah, I'm on top of the world. It doesn't matter what you did that week or what happened that day. You just bowled a strike and you're feeling like a winner. And then you turn around and you get to walk back to all your friends and family that are sitting there and they're cheering you on. Yeah, I'm a winner. I'm so awesome. Yeah, you're strutting. You got the strike strut. You're going back to your family. So then, the very next time you go up there, you get the ball, and you're about to do it again. You're like, I'm going to do this exactly the way I did it before. You line everything up, and you go, and something happens. I don't know what it is, but it's the weather, it's the radio, it's somebody sneezed, or I don't know, something happened. You slip, and that ball's going, and then it starts drifting over to the side and drifting a little further, and then clunk over into the gutter. No, gutter ball. And you're like, please just bounce back in and knock something over. No, it's never going to bounce back in. It goes all the way down and you get zero pins knocked over. And when that happens, all of the life that you had drains out of you and you have to turn around and walk back. And there's no way to walk back to your friends with any sort of dignity after you just rolled that gutter ball, right? And so you're like, oh, trying to play it off, trying to act like you meant to do it. And yeah, strike, yeah, spare, gutter ball, right? So you get to the end, all 10 frames are done, scored a 73, and you're like, oh, man. That's a bad score in case anybody doesn't bowl in here. So if I could just start over, you go back to that little computer thing and you hit that button that says next game and you look at the screen and it erases all of the, yeah, just like that picture right there. It erases all those gutter balls, all those painful moments that you just experienced, and you get a fresh frame. You get a fresh bowling. Look at this. This was the other day. I went with Jude, and we were the only ones there. And so the good thing was when I rolled a gutter, it was just him and me. Nobody else knew about it. But this fresh frame, no mess ups, no problems, No issues. And that's what we want in life, a new beginning. It's so hard to do that, though. So hard to just start over again. Our church here has a phone system that's a computer-based phone system. And so this week it went down and nobody could use the phone. So Pam, one of our administrators here, came into my office and she said, "I fixed the phone. I fixed it. I fixed the phone system." I said, What'd you do? How'd you do it?" I was so impressed. I was like, "Wow, Pam, that's awesome. What'd you do?" She said, "I went upstairs and I turned it off and I turned it back on." Reset. Yeah. If your iPhone, your iPad messes up, you just hold that button down for 5 or 10 seconds. It all goes black and then the Apple comes on. It works again. It's so nice. New beginning, fresh start. Fresh slate. That's what we want. There's a woman in the Bible named Mary, and she needed a fresh start probably more than anybody. She was tortured internally, mentally, spiritually. She struggled with seven demons that controlled her and just affected the way she made decisions. She would act out. We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how these demons affected her. But, I mean, if you have one, that's a bad thing. If you have two, that's... But she had seven different spirits of darkness that were influencing her life. And I don't know how you feel about, you know, demons and spirits and darkness and all that. But, man, I tell you what. You just turn on the news and you just watch some things that are going on in the world today. And it doesn't take a whole lot to figure out there's evil out there. There's darkness out there. I mean, just in Austin, our own community here in Central Texas, last month we were terrorized when a terrorist began to randomly start blowing up bombs in our community. And we didn't know if we could open up the mail. We didn't know if we could go on a hike, if we'd hit a tripwire or something. We had no idea. So everybody was on edge because of evil and darkness that's in the world. Well, this woman had a situation where she was bound by these, and it affected every part of her life. First of all, she was a woman. And being a woman back then, was a disadvantage, almost like property. Women got their value from being married and having kids, and she didn't have either one of these. We know her as Mary Magdalene, but her last name was not Magdalene. That was where she was from. She's from the town of Magdala. So actually, we'd say Mary the Magdalene, the one from Magdala. So since we know her by that, we know she didn't have a surname, a married name, and that's why we know she was struggling in her relationship, in her occupation, in her family. We have to understand and know that she was ostracized. She didn't have a future. She was tormented, and she was stuck until Jesus came to Magdala. Jesus came to town. Magdala was up on the Sea of Galilee, still is there to this day. You have several different villages around the Sea of Galilee. You have Capernaum, and you have Magdala and Tiberias, and Nazareth's not too far off up there, but Magdala, she lived up there. Jesus came to town, and when Jesus came to town, the Bible says in Luke, the 8th chapter, that Jesus delivered her from all seven spirits that oppressed her. And so when that happened, everything changed for Mary. Her life transcended her current status, and when Jesus stepped into Magdala and called out her name, Mary, her winter became spring. And really, that's what new beginnings is fully illustrated, is winter to spring, right? Winter is cold and barren and snowy, and there's no color. Things are gray and black and dark and brown. The leaves have fallen off. There's no growth, but then this time of year, the rain begins to fall, the sun starts warming up, and we see grass popping up and blue bonnets and wildflowers. That's what happened when Jesus walked into Magdala and freed Mary from these seven spirits. She went from winter, what am I going to do? I have no life. I'm trapped. I'm imprisoned. To now, I have a family. I have a purpose. I've been healed. I can think clearly. I'm not trapped and reacting out of anger and out of confusion and out of all these ways that she used to react out of things and emotionally disturbed and all the different ways that she was freed from all that. And she could breathe better, right? And she had people that actually wanted to hang out with her now. And the Bible says that Mary actually began to travel with Jesus. She's like, I'm out of here, Magdala. See ya. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with whatever he's doing. That's where I'm headed. So Mary went with Jesus. And that was a miracle too, because people just didn't do that kind of thing. They didn't just travel like that. So in Luke, the 8th chapter, it says that there were several women that Jesus brought out of their old lifestyle. And they are the ones that actually funded the ministry. They wrote checks. They gave gold and silver and all that to fund all these people that were going to be traveling around for the next 3 years as Jesus went around from place to place. Mary now had purpose. Mary now had a future. Mary had a reason to live. She had people that believed in her. She had people that were opening up doors for her to succeed in life. And so she went from this life with nothing going on to now her past would no longer define her. She began again. Her future was secure. She was ready. She was rolling. And things were going well. So she followed Jesus. And they went around from town to town all over Israel. And Jesus lived an incredible life. Jesus taught in different places. He would teach on hillsides and in tabernacles. And he would teach in the temple. And he would teach in people's homes. And he would teach in boats, and he would teach on the shore. I mean, he was everywhere. He was fulfilling prophecy. He was performing miracles. He actually not only just healed people from demonic oppression, but crippled people, blind people, deaf people, people that were depressed and angry and hurt. And he delivered Matthew from his career as a tax collector and a thief and gave him a purpose. He was successful and had money, and Zacchaeus was another guy like that, wealthy businessman, had everything the world wanted, but Jesus delivered him from that greed and that oppression and brought him into the kingdom. Jesus was doing amazing things. Mary was with him all through that. And some scholars say she was one of the closest people to Jesus. There was his mother, Mary. There was John, the beloved apostle, that was really, really tight with Jesus. And then Mary the Magdalene was one that was really, really close with him every step of the way. Jesus came because he loved the world so much. And he saw that the world had been separated from God. And God didn't want the world separated from him forever. So there was this perfect and pure God. And there was this world that had been perfect at one time when it was created. But the world decided, and the people, really, the humans decided they want to kind of do it their own way and not God's way. And they started rebelling against God's ways. That rebellion, just the natural consequence of that rebellion is separation. So you had holiness over here, and you had unholy over here. You had righteous and unrighteous. Well, God didn't want it that way. That broke God's heart. So he makes a way when Jesus comes here to this earth to bring that back together again so that broken people can now have a relationship with a holy God once again. That's why Jesus came. And Jesus takes the place of us and our position of punishment, and he takes the sin that's in the room right here, the fresh sin that you just committed this week, this month, your whole life that's represented. And he takes this sin when Jesus is here. And Colossians 3 says, he canceled the record of charges against you and me and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So Jesus went to the cross, and his sacrifice of his body was not just for him to die, but it was a powerful moment that changed everything. When he takes our sin that entraps us and addicts us and confuses us and he deals with it once and for all. The Bible says that the wage of sin, or the penalty of sin, is death. That's what we deserve from sin. That's what we have to pay. That's the wage that we pay for the sin that's in our life. But Jesus didn't want us to try to strive all of our life to pay that debt. And he didn't want us to die and be separated from him for eternity because of that debt. So he comes to earth as one of us, as a baby, right? That's why we celebrate Christmas. He comes to us as a baby and he lives this incredible life to pay our debt. And so Mary is with him. Mary the Magdalene, with him every step of the way. She's with him through every miracle, through the trial. She's standing there in Pilate's palace when they are trying him, and then they go to beat him. Mary's there. Mary's watching that. She didn't leave him. She was holding on to every moment that she had with him. And then they put the cross on Jesus' back, and he begins to take his journey up to Golgotha. We call that the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. And Jesus took that journey, and Mary was with him as he went on that journey. And then as he's laying down and he's crucified on the cross, Mary is there. And Mary sees as they stand him up on the cross and sink it down into the ground. And darkness begins to crowd around Mary. Mary begins to feel winter again. She begins to feel the coldness of Jesus' death and the barrenness of being separated from Jesus. She's seeing him die on the cross, and what's going on through her mind is, the one person that gave me a chance is dying in front of my eyes. The one person that believed in me and gave me an open door is now going away forever. She thinks he's dying and not coming back, even though he's told all of them that he's coming back. She doesn't believe it, and she's weeping at the cross, and the mother of Mary, Mary, the mother of Jesus, they're with her, John's with her. They're weeping at the cross. They're thinking, where are we going to go now? Who will help us now? Everything that I thought was going to deliver something in my life is now gone. How can I go forward in this point of my life? And I don't have to try to convince some of you to put yourself in Mary's shoes, because some of you in here today, some of you watching online today, are already in Mary's shoes. You're already in a place where you think, the people I trusted in the most are the ones that abused me, that betrayed me, that divorced me, that stole from me. The path I thought I had in life is dissolving in front of my very eyes. How can I make it? Mary's feeling that horrible feeling of being alone. How can I do this? I'm going back. Things were going so well, and now I'm losing all of that. That's what Mary is. She's dealing with it. She's struggling with it. And we as humans know what that feels like. We've been in a place of abandonment and hopelessness. And the people that you thought were going to be the ones that helped you the most have left you. Or they didn't promote you. Or they fired you. Or they took from you. Or maybe that money that you thought was going to be enough to pay is not enough. Or maybe you made it. You got the job that you wanted. You're getting the money that you've always wanted. And you're in the place that other people would love to be in. But for you, it's still not filling the void. And you're wondering, how can I do it? How can I make it? That's what Mary was feeling at the cross. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Who will I turn to now? Jesus was taken down from the cross. He was buried on Friday. And the tradition of their people was to go the following day and take oils and spices and anoint the body one final time. So they didn't embalm back then, but they would anoint the body with oils and spices as a ceremonial thing. And they would go immediately the next day after the burial. They didn't want to wait too long. It would be really rough to go in there. And so they would go immediately. But it just so happens that Jesus was buried on a Friday and the next day was Saturday. That's the Sabbath. And Jews didn't do anything on the Sabbath. They rested. And so Mary decided with the other women, we're not going to go on the Sabbath. We're going to rest. So they don't go on the Sabbath. They spend Friday night wrestling with this. They're trying their best to honor God and not do anything on the Sabbath. They're toiling with this. They're troubled with this. They spend Saturday night, and then the first day of the week is Sunday. And so they get up early on Sunday morning. They get their spices. They get their oil, and they make their trek to the tomb. But when they get to the tomb, the stone that had been covering the hole of the tomb was now open, and it was not covering the tomb anymore. And so sometimes when you see a depiction of this, you would see like this huge opening, like the size of this drum tomb over here. It's not that big. A tomb may be that big, but the hole was very small. There's still some of these that you can see in Israel. They're like maybe the opening's like this tall. You kind of have to bend down to go into it. And so the stone would have been about this big. Anyway, they had soldiers there that were guarding the tomb, but they were not there. The tomb was open, so Peter and John go in there, Mary goes in there, and they see when they go in the tomb that the body is not there. Well, they didn't get excited and go, "Well, Jesus is alive." No, they didn't do all that. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe he was alive. They thought he was dead, and somebody had taken his body. They didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. They're struggling with it. Peter and John run back to town. The other women, they all go. And then Mary Magdalene circles back. And Mary goes back, and she comes back to this open tomb and the openings there. She goes in, and she's weeping, and she's crying. And there's two men there that are angels, but she doesn't know that they're angels. And they ask her, "Mary, why are you crying?" And she says to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." In other words, Mary doesn't think he's alive, right? She thinks someone has taken his body. Those men disappear. They leave, they walk. We don't know what happens, but they're gone. And Mary's there by herself. She's a mess. She's grieving. At first, Jesus died. That was horrible. Now he's been taken. That's even worse. Now what are we going to do? This is not a proper resting. This is not a proper burial. How? Who? How? What? She's struggling. She's crying. And then she hears somebody else behind her, another man, ask her that same question. "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. It wasn't the gardener. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. We don't know if it's because it was dark. He looked different. He had a veil on. We don't know. But she doesn't recognize him. And she thinks that he's the gardener. She says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." She's thinking her answer is to go get this dead body and put him back. And that's going to somehow bring resolution. But Jesus is alive and well and standing right beside her, and she doesn't even know it. And then Jesus says one word that changed her forever. Jesus says, "Mary." And when Jesus says her name, instantly, winter is over. And springtime has come. As soon as Jesus says her name, oh man, she recognizes that it's her Savior. She recognizes that it's Jesus. And she calls him this name, Rabboni, which is teacher, master. It's a very close and intimate name that she would have called him. "You're here. You're alive. I thought you were the gardener. What? Oh my goodness, you're alive." And everything changed for her at that moment, right? Everything transcends for Mary, because he said her name. She recognized, you've been here this whole time. Wait a minute, I didn't have to cry at the cross. Wait a minute, you're gonna, what? She's like, everything starts just dawning on her. This is a new beginning, a fresh slate, a clean start, a new beginning, a fresh start. All of a sudden, I do have a life. I thought I didn't have a life, but I do have a life. You do have power. You are with me because he said her name. And I'm here to tell you today that you're not here by an accident. You didn't come to Easter Sunday because someone bribed you with a free meal or you're trying to please grandma, right? Or, you know, you want to be good on Easter. That's not why you're here. You're here because the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you and whispering your name today. Come on. Mary. Mary. John. Frank. Victoria. Robin, oh man, it feels so good to hear your name called. Me? Yeah, I want you. I know you. I want you. I'm calling your name. In fact, why don't you just say your own name right now? Ready? One, two, three, say it. Robin. Robin, I love to hear that called. I'm not talking about like when you were a little kid and your mom used to say all of your names. We don't want that, right? My mom used to say, Christopher Robin Steele. That's my name. That's my full name. Christopher, go ahead. Christopher Robin. Yes. Okay, anyway. Let's get it out. All my life, I've had that response every time I tell somebody my name. Robin, Robin, I love you. I have a future for you. You've been in the tomb. You've been in the grave. You've been captive by winter, but I'm calling your name. You're coming out of that tomb. I love that song that we just sang. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we run out of the grave that so easily entangles us. And for some of us, it's all in here. The grave and the tomb and the addiction and the spirits and the past and what you've gone through. That's all in here and it's all in here. And it's not even out there. It's just in here. But it's so debilitating that you haven't had a future. And you've been bound by your past. But because Jesus has risen from the dead, now your past no longer defines you. Amen. That's exciting. Your past has two painful parts to it. The parts you did, where you screwed up and you messed up, and then the parts that everybody else did to you. The painful abuse and betrayal and divorce and mental abuse and verbal abuse. The things that people did to you, the firing, the bankruptcy, the cheating, the stealing, that's hurtful and painful. That's your past. But then there's all the mess that you did, and you know you did it. Right? And you screwed up and you having a hard time forgiving yourself from your past. I'm here to tell you today, when Jesus says your name, that no longer defines you. Jesus pays the price for your past to no longer have control over your life. This one thing I do, Paul said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, Philippians 3:13. And if there was any person that would struggle with their past, it would be Peter. Peter is the one that denied Jesus 3 days ago. Hurtfully, profanely, cursing Jesus, saying, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. Peter denying Jesus. That is is sin in Peter's life that is so hurtful and so painful to Peter. But you know what Jesus told Mary when he saw her in that empty tomb? He said, I want you to go first tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. I want them to know first. Why? Because Jesus wanted Peter to know your past of betraying me is not going to be what defines you. Instead, you're going to have a new name. You're going to have a new identity. And we know Peter as the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the very first sermon of the first church. And 3,000 people were added that day. And Peter's this mighty man of faith and power. How could that happen when he just denied Jesus? Because Jesus means everything. Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus rose from the dead, it doesn't matter if you just betrayed him. He's paid the price that betrayal is due. So your past doesn't define you. The second thing that's so important about this is today you can begin again. Today. The most important thing about that phrase you see on the screen right there is today. I've been harping on begin again all day, right? But today you can begin again. Some of you like the idea of beginning again, and you are excited about the idea of God loving you, and that's encouraging, but our first response would be, well, let me go fix some things first. Let me go spend a few weeks and let me get some things right. Then I will come start with God. Then I will pray to Jesus. But first, I need to make some things right. I need to get some things fixed up first. I need to make things better. And that's not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is today is the day of salvation. But I messed up. But you don't know what I just did this week. Today's the day of salvation. Jesus actually wants you messed up. He wants you broken. He wants you confused. He wants you addicted. He wants you in that place where you don't know what the heck's going on. Because then he's going to get all the glory for it. And really, he's the only one that can do the work that needs to be done. If you go and you try, hey, I'm going to give it a month. I'm going to go through some programs. I'm starting to, you know, give financially to the church. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to do all these good things. I'm going to stop doing bad. You will never get to the place where you're good enough to be with God, ever. So that's why God says, I'm here for you. I'm going to clean you up, and I'm going to make you like me. And the churchy word for that is sanctification. He makes you like him. He makes you beautiful like him. Only God can do that. You can't do that for yourself. God can do it for you, though. Today, we begin again. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The third and final thing I want to tell you is your future is secure because Jesus rose from the dead. So there's fear. Yeah, I'll clap. Yeah. I talk to people all the time. You know, that's what I do as a pastor. Is I talk to people and counsel with people and help them. And so many times the question mark is in the future. And fear is all about what could happen if this worst case. And so there's so much fear and anxiety and heaviness in people's life because of the future. And what if this happens? And what if she doesn't like me? And then what if I don't get that raise? And what if I have to move? And what if my mom dies? And what if? The future is so ambiguous and scary and dark and all that. And that's the way Mary felt. But you gotta understand, Jesus rose from the dead and is now alive and well. What that means is that you never have to worry about the future again. Ever. Does that mean it's all going to be rosy and perfect and I'm a Christian? Woo! No. It's going to be hard. There's going to be difficult times. But even if you're in the tomb and you don't realize it, Jesus is still standing there right beside you. And that's what I'm here as a pastor, and that's why you need to be around church family often and keep meeting. The Bible says don't forsake assembling with one another, come to small groups, come to church on Sunday, keep on coming around people. You know why? Because we keep reminding each other, hey, Jesus is right here. Jesus is right here. I talked to him today. He's right. He knows everything you're going through. He knows every detail. He knows every person that you don't like. He knows. He knows every detail. He's with you. He can help you. He's with you. Even though you walk through the valley, the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil because God's with you. He's right there with you. He's right there with you every step of the way. And then there's this beautiful text in Lamentations, the Old Testament, that says that his mercy is new every single day. Every single day. You know, you have things that expire in your refrigerator. Maybe y'all don't have that, but in our house, we have. Maybe y'all just eat everything like right on time. Was it yesterday? Yesterday, I was making my morning oatmeal every day, make the same oatmeal, and I always pour applesauce in my oatmeal, you know, try to make it healthy or whatever. And I handed the jar over to Erica, and she said, do you realize that they're like black, big black hairy spots in this applesauce? And I was like, I've been eating that applesauce every day. That's just, you know, just God protected me, I guess. But let's go ahead and throw it away. Let's go ahead and put it in the trash. The expiration date was old. But you know, with God's mercy, they never expire. Put that verse back up there on the screen. That's so awesome. His mercy never expires. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So if you ever wake up and you think, Lord, are you about to strike me down? Ah, no, it's fresh today. Forgiveness is fresh today. Forgiveness is new today. Mercy is forgiveness. That's what mercy is all about. It's forgiveness that you don't deserve. That's the mercy of God. It's fresh every day. Would you bow your heads and let's pray right now? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying with my friends right now. And those of you here this morning that are listening, I want to encourage you, don't just listen, pray with me. Pray in your own words. You ready to give your heart to God? Let's do it right now. Just say, Lord, I give you my life today. I don't understand everything that's going on here, but Lord, I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready today, God, to start afresh, to start with a blank slate, start with a new beginning. Lord, I ask that you would help me with my past. Please forgive me of those things I've done wrong. Please forgive me of those things, Lord. And also, I ask God that you would help me with all those things that have happened to me. Those hurtful things, those painful things that I didn't have anything to do with, Lord. They've been defining me. Lord, I'm ready for you to redefine me. Help me, God, today. You know, just honest conversation with God's all that's needed. Lord, we love you. We give you our heart today. We surrender completely to you, Jesus Christ. We trust in you, Jesus, that you've made a way for us that we could never make for ourselves. We make ourselves open and available to your power and your presence. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.